Luke 3, verse 19.
Well, I know one other thing that I was seeing that morning, like we're a small, insignificant bunch of people. Like, what effect does what we do have on the body of Christ? Of course, the recording has some impact. It goes out, people hear, but there's a spiritual thing, and I believe you said this before, correct me if I'm wrong. But just the fact that we're here is enough. Doing what we do is enough. God is the one who is doing what he's doing. We're just being faithful to this, which is set before us. We do it.
Yeah, the moment your mind or eyes get on what you think is success, then the evil one has succeeded in shifting your point of view from God to man.
Yeah.
And that's just pure evil. I mean, we can never be concerned with the results are not our business, and there's no way that that can be more emphasized. The preaching of the cross is its own power,
which is what you talked about last night.
Yeah, that's what we discussed last time. And John Bloom is the primary example of just being here feeds him, sustains him, gives him.
Oh, there's a no. There's
and
there's
he's just the example.
Yeah, there's many there in his position.
In the same place. Yeah. Know, So this is all true. If we start looking at what we're doing, then we fall short because of mind.
All right.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Luke 3:19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. The word evils here is an important word. It's poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And it's the active form of evil. And it's whenever it has the article, which is, it has it all over the place, especially in the Lord's Prayer. Let's go there, Matthew 6. We're just going to look at one verse, Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, poneros alone is used to describe Satan and his the evil one and his minion. And so, with here in Matthew 6, it's lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. And until you know that that evil one is you, then there's no Christianity. And that, unfortunately, if you know that the evil one is you, then you can never trust your judgments, your thoughts, your ideas, your plans. You can't have any investment in anything. If you do, then the thing that you're doing something for good, but you've got an investment in it, so it becomes an idol. And you will destroy anybody that gets in your way. And that's of the evil one. And that word lead, as we've talked about many times, is only used twice in the scriptures. Once in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer and once here. And it means to lead inward. For no reason allow us to be led inward. No musing. No. It's got to be seen as the purest form of evil. Now you can't even hear this until you've come to the end of yourself. You know, you sit around and think, and you have all these great ideas, and, oh, man, that's good. And you dwell in it. Let's look at the whole series of these that are used in 2 John. I mean, 1 John. Starting the second chapter. First John 2, verse 13. This is that whole 12 through 15 or whatever it is. It's all this bouncing back and forth between a darling infant to a teenager to a young man to the father. And so it's written in this way, so because that's the way people are. It's not linear. Okay, so let's start in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's a darling infant. Your sin is forgiven. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, the only wicked one that you can overcome, by definition, is you. And the only way you overcome it is by seeing that he overcame it. And so the warfare is over. And if you find yourself being a little sneak of thinking some good thoughts or getting some really good ideas, that's just a little sneaky. There's no warfare there. Unless that's your normal. Yeah, that's really smart. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And then the next one, I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. There, that little children, as we've studied before, is the word for teenager. The only thing in that spiritual position, when everything is going wrong, prayer doesn't help, fellowship doesn't help, Bible study doesn't help, nothing helps. The only thing that's the anchor is that, what? Because you have known the Father. And if any of you haven't been in that position yet, you will be.
You mean we're
going to
die?
No, you'll be in that position of confusion. And the only thing that anchors you is you have known the Father. Then I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now that wicked one is Poneros. And then and let's go to in chapter 3, verse 12. This in verse 11. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Now, as we've talked so often, you've got to see that you were Cain that slew his brother. Until you see that, reading the scriptures, you read it as history. And so every time you see this, my God, you are there crucifying him. You are there nailing this. You know, so that's the only way the fear of God can overcome you, so that you can overcome the wicked one. Otherwise, you'll just slide around in sloth, you know, the rest of your life. There's no clarity. There's no zeal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Let's just one more place. Go to chapter 5.
1 John 5.
1 John 5. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Are you born of God? This is the great mystery. There are people, they're super popular Christians. Let's say they don't sin. They're lying through their teeth. And the problem is this: nobody understands this duality. Sin is a person, the wicked one that dwelleth in you, that's been masquerading as you your whole life. He that is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. It's not possible. But you, I tell you, that's all you can do, because you, it's not, sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. That's why the cross is the only thing. Everything else is just spiritual. It's just like a big circle jerk or something. All right, back to Luke. And added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. The word prison, it's the place of captives. It's called sometimes a cage, sometimes as a hold, but we don't have prison ministries any more than we have any other kind, because the captive that's in the captive is Christ in you. He's the one that's being held captive. And Babylon, let's just go to Revelation 18 real quick. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's describing your mind. The whore of Babylon is sitting on the seven high places, or the seven mountains of your mind that were typified in the promised land. Well, we don't want to go there. I'll go on 15 rants before. All right, let's go back to 3 in verse 21. Now when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. It's a minor thing, but Thou art my Son, the beloved one, is the way it should. Now, we only know of three times that Jesus heard the voice of God. Only three times that are recorded. At his baptism, at the Mount of Transfiguration, and just before he was crucified. Now that's kind of illustrative. We think that spiritual maturity is hearing more and more from God, and God just visits with you every day. No. Spiritual maturity is being obedience without hearing. But just think of it. There had to be, I mean, the scriptures had to be tempted to put in how many times Christ, God and Jesus were having conversations. But don't you think there's something mysterious here? What are you doing?
Yeah. Looking for loopholes, looking for reasons that might not be true.
All right, we're going to look at some of those. Let's go to...
I didn't always think about Jesus separating himself and going to commune with God. I assume what else would he do?
What do you remember what the mind of Christ is? It's always emptying.
Well, that's kind of an event in and of itself.
No, it's not an event. It's a state of being.
Different words. You're doing something. You got stuff in your head, and you're dealing with it, or whatever a good word is. You're saying
ignoring it.
Is that what you would say?
Emptying it.
Ignore
he ignored everything of his mind as Son of Man. You've got to remember, the Trinity is critical. He was both Son of Man and Son of God. So his mind did the same crappy things that ours do. But at his baptism, it sealed it. That typified his death and burial as Son of Man. He never again leaned on his own arm of understanding or mused about anything. It was instant. It was always boom, boom, boom. Whatever he saw the Father do, he did. Now, did he have a television in there seeing the Father? No. He and the Father were one. And that same oneness is your promise. So that it's being, not trying to be. Just think of how much time one wastes in trying to be something. You can't do it. All you become is a hypocrite. He just was. And therein is the mystery of communion. That's why the word for communion or fellowship is the same word that it's emptying, kenosis. He alone is the door. He alone is the door to each other. He alone is the door to heaven. I mean, if we have fellowship on any other basis other than him being the door in each of us, then you'll soon be disappointed. It's especially true in a husband and wife. That's what they're...
I was just thinking about Herod, thinking, I'll grow up. I want to grow up and be a tetrarch.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that get?
But this emptiness is critical. And for some reason, it's so, the concept is just so foreign. Well, I know the reason. The reason is the fall. I have suffered the loss of all things. You stay in that position. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Three times. The transfiguration, his baptism, his transfiguration, and just before the crucifixion. It was the voice of God verbally, heard.
So it states others around heard the voice too, right?
Well, they heard something. But we think, you know, I go to these. I used to go all, you know, when I was going to church all the time, trying to find a church home. I went to 100, and I was, you know, I felt most home most of the time at charismatic places because that's. I thought everybody spoke in tongues when I became a believer at that instant. And so I go and I hear these people. Thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't. And they're sitting around talking, oh, praise God. God and I were talking last night. No, you weren't. But it becomes the act. It becomes the... It's like this deal. Christ for the Nation is a perfect example. Every day you have somebody coming there and telling you how often. So you start thinking, well, I must be talking to God. And so you start making up crap. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Well, the problem is once God starts talking to you, he's got to keep talking or else something's wrong. You've screwed up something. So if you start the thing where God's talking to you, you can't just fall back to a baseline position of not talking because that means you've done something wrong.
What's DPS?
So you got to keep it going.
Pump up the energy. What?
He's thinking something. He's pondering.
What?
I've heard that stuff my whole life.
What stuff?
You know, I was talking to God last night.
What did he say?
Yeah, exactly.
You're lying.
Well, what I found is interesting is, like, some of the guys I would hang out with is God told me to do this, God told me to do that, and then they go in the direction God told them to go. And
no, he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, what he did he tell you to go there for 3 months?
Oh, go. Well, my favorite one is, somebody comes along and says, they're super spiritual people. I had it happen all the time because I was in the public eye. They lay hands on me and God told me that you're going to blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't. God told me your office in the body of Christ is this. Your calling is going to be that. No, my calling is Jesus Christ. My office is Jesus Christ. I have no other. How that's manifested isn't my business.
Now that would be considered a child position, right? People who do that.
Well,
because we can't say they're not saved. We can't say anything.
No, I just think it's a stupid position. Well, they're lying.
They're misinformed.
Position.
But they're lying.
But they're children. I mean,
lying.
They're lying children.
They're misinformed. They think they're talking to God.
But
they're talking to themselves.
I mean,
you ought to see what happens when you challenge. You stand up in a charismatic church and challenge a preacher when he says, "God told me." No, I stood up and said, "No, he didn't." I was asked to leave the church, but of course it's childish. It's just idiotic. It's insanity.
But to be a child is not idiotic, is it?
If you're 50 years old and still a child, it is. Or how old are you?
It's not about time.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I gave it a job.
You just laid it up right there.
Yeah. It's too easy.
But let's just go to John 5. We never get to where I want to go to. John 5, verse 17. Well, in verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." I mean, it's an automatic. And that's the prayer. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer, not the disciples' prayer. Go to John 17. That concept is all over the scriptures, in the New, especially in John. But just John 17. You're doing it, Gary.
Well, it's the word "see it."
It's the same thing. It's they're one.
Says see it, and so that means there's something. Yeah, that's just this mystical place.
Okay, you remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel, and Jacob had never used his name; he's always son of. And the angel wouldn't let him go until he told him his name. And he told him his name. And the place that he told him his name was Peniel, which means the face of God. Now, in every mammal, they used to call it a vestigial organ. At the center of your brain, it's shaped like a cone, and it's called the pineal body. Now it's called the pineal organ. And I believe that that's the place. Our minds are like 50 billion neurons and all running every which way, all. And we ignore it. And we empty it. And there, the face of God is right there within each of us. And we live. We just be. We just as a bird flying. Just as a flower growing. Without self-consciousness. And that's...
Yeah, this is... where time has been removed and there's no space between thought and action.
Right, there's none. I'm thinking about it. Don't think about it, do it. Yeah. Oh, I've been dealing with this for 4 months. Well, you dumbass. Why?
My mind hasn't resolved it.
John 17. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 is the disciples' prayer. Oh, it's all over the place. Let me find where it's a good one. Start in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was in the world, on and on. Let's go to John 14. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day, when your Jerusalem that now is destroyed, at that day. Now, I'm not going to teach anything else. I'm not going to talk about, well, how you get to that day. You get to that day by repentance, when there's not a stone standing on your Jerusalem that now is. There's not one opinion. There's not one idea. There's not one thought of how things should or shouldn't be. And if there is, it's instantly... God, I mean, you've heard me talk about this before. God's sense of humor. Every morning I come in here and I look up there and all I see are these labels. And I just despise labels. Every morning I have to repent. Because there shouldn't be labels showing. Well, that's just stupid. No, you repent. It's always there for repentance. There are 1,000 little things that remind you to repent always. Repent totally. Not just I'm sorry, or about one thing. You repent because you've allowed the evil one to be raised from the deadly head wound in you. You have given him life. And that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's the same thing we studied in Isaiah. In that day, Abraham saw that day and was glad. There's no separation. You make all kinds of, you screw up, you make all kinds of mistakes, but you never return to cause and effect. You never return to leaning on your own arm of understanding. You can't.
Yeah, the minute you do that, because it's your mind that's going to judge good and evil about how you behaved or said or whatever.
Well, that's why we went through that whole thing about why the John couldn't say what the thunderings were saying until that day. That no man can come until that day cannot happen until a man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is you. Now it can be revealed. Time is no more. As long as you're messing around in the weak and beggarly elements of the world, you're just foolish. You're worse than it. You're spiritually retarded. Now, okay. Then what about suffering? What about pain? Well, it's to find out how if you've got to stay in that position no matter what. In that day. In what day? In the day, there was only one, that there's only one day. That day, it's when you see the day dawn, the day star rise in your heart, because you have seen the end of you, and you have seen the end of all human effort, and you've seen the vanity and futility of chasing wind. In that day, you shall know that he is in the Father, and the Father is in him, and when we are in him, and he is in us. Oneness. That's why we study all of the feasts. That's why we celebrate them. To get to the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day. What?
Pretty good stuff. I mean, this gets to the point.
That's all there is. What? I smell a grease burning worse than in him.
He's very guilty.
Guilty is a good word.
Throw it out.
That's I'm at the end of myself right now. That's exactly where I'm living.
But don't resurrect yourself. If you build again the things which you have destroyed, then you make yourself the transgressor. So now the first thing you want to do when things go wrong is, well, I'm going to figure out how to fix it. Well, the minute you do that, you make yourself the transgressor. You remember when I had bananas, Bible study, and I'd hear one or two of the other groups that somebody'd give them a problem and then everybody'd have a solution. And that's called psychobabble. No solutions. He is the solution. The only reason things are, you lay things out in the Seder, because that's the typifying of the New Jerusalem that you dwell in. That's the mother, or the picture of the mother. And you give, you do, blah, 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 dee. But my God in heaven, you don't sit there and everybody has an opinion about what somebody should do about something. That's like massive vomit everywhere. And it's so tempting. Oh, I know what you do about that. Well, how'd that work out for you? When'd you become an expert? You sure you want to go there?
I'm just giving you ammo. Let's call this off.
All right. We're going to study the three times that he heard from God. If the creek don't rise and all that other stuff. Take it, big guy.
I got 9 o'clock.